I'm going to start by saying, like, have you ever had one of those weeks? I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Those weeks where it's just so full. And, you know, it was probably just really busy, lots of activity, but also by the end of that week, you're like, oh, I'm just so exhausted, physically, mentally, emotionally even, and maybe even perhaps spiritually. And it's great to be able to come to a gathering like what we have here this morning and to have that uplifting that we need. Well, it was one of those weeks for me this week. It was a very full week. And, you know, just to clarify this, I'll make a confession. Pastors don't just sit in our offices all day. And two, we don't just hang out with people all day drinking coffee. Some people have that perception that that's all we do. And no, that's really not all we do. So you're going to get a glimpse into my week this past week. So on Monday, I was teaching, preparing and teaching for my course at the Bible College. And that's usually a full day. I love it. It's a really life-affirming activity for me. But of course, there's a lot that goes into preparing and teaching. And this semester, I'm teaching on world religions, which is pretty fun. And then that evening, we had a birthday celebration for Anna. Tuesday morning, I come back to the office, and I'm going through the emails and going through all the different tasks that have had that I have to do as part of conversations and meetings we've had, and then preparing and then facilitating prayer meeting that night. Wednesday, I was back at the college again because we had a spiritual formation conference for our students, and I was asked to lead a session on spiritual disciplines, and so I led them through the practice of Lectio Divina. So that was my Wednesday. Thursday, I come back, and we host a, if you didn't know this, we host a monthly pastors gathering at our church here. And we do that, and so we're going to get ready for that. And this particular Thursday was a really heavy topic. We've been going through a series on mental health, and particularly this time we were talking about mental health and spiritual health in ministry families. So those of us who are in pastoral ministry or other type of Christian ministry and how that affects our families. And so it was pretty heavy. And then Friday, if some of you probably remember, I mentioned a while back that we were going to be hosting Killarney Secondary School for their choir concert that was held on Friday. So there's all that preparation that goes into that, as well as getting stuff ready for this weekend. We actually had a wonderful turnout. If you can imagine, there were 220 youth on this stage. And for a moment, I actually sent an email, a WhatsApp to the board, and I said, I hope that stage actually holds. Because I'm like, I don't know. Does anybody know what the weight of this thing is? Like, how much weight it can handle? I really would like to know. Because there was one song they were doing, and they were stomping, and I was like, oh, please, Lord, don't. And so there were 220 youth up here, and this whole sanctuary was full of all their parents, and it was full, and people in the balcony. It was a great evening. You know, some of the folks there had never been into our church before, and so it was really great for them to be able to come and see that, hey, we're not so weird. You know, we're not like a cult or something, okay? Like, seriously. So that was pretty fun to have them come and just be in our sanctuary. And so it was wonderful. And then we had the youth group that night as well. And so youth group was great. And again, one of the things that's happening is We've actually become pretty much an inter-church youth fellowship now with Resonance Church, Killarney Park, and Grace Community Baptist. And it's just so wonderful to see these kids that come from all different parts of Vancouver and from different schools, and yet they can hang out, get to know one another, and learn about and hear about God and His good news for them. Where it took an interesting turn for me was on Friday night after we were leaving, the church and headed home. So I had three youth in my car. My daughter, a homestay student, Anna, and Anna had invited her friend, Chelsea, and so the three of them were all in the car with me. And we're driving back on Rupert, and we noticed it seemed like an argument on the street between this man and this woman. And so then, as we're driving by, one of the girls says, "Hey, I think I just saw this guy, like, push her really hard." And I was like, okay, this is starting to get, you know, physical here. So they were like, somebody said, I would feel bad if we just left and, you know, this something happened to this woman, right? You don't want to read about it in the news the next day. So we're like, I've got three young ladies in my car. What should I do? They're concerned. Do I keep going? Do I turn back? And I'm like, okay, fine. We'll just do a drive-by. So I turned around and I did a drive-by. And by that point, there were a few other people in the neighborhood. They were out and, you know, they were dealing with it. So I was like, oh, good. Okay. I can just turn around now and I can head back. As I'm turning around, what happens is this man who is having this argument with this lady, he starts running, goes to a taxi cab, and he just goes away. Meanwhile, this woman is chasing this guy, and you can tell that she is just emotionally distraught. And as he gets into this taxi and goes away, she starts sobbing, and she drops in the middle of the road, almost being killed. Like, I seriously saw this, and this car, like, she just stopped, and this car was like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to get herself killed, right? And I'm like, and then there's this other guy, and he's like videoing this. He's got his camera out, and he's taking a video. And I'm just like, okay, this is a bad scene. This is a bad scene. And I'm thinking, okay, let's call the cops, and, you know, and apparently somebody had, and I was like, what do I do now, right? So I'm thinking, do I just leave, whatever? And then, like I said, it was a whole scene. I finally got out and tried to get her off the road because she was going to get killed if she didn't. And then eventually the police showed up. I get back in the car, and now I've got to deal with three traumatized ladies who are all freaking out that I'm going to get hurt. And it was a whole thing that evening. And I'm like, wow, how did this happen? It went a whole 180 degrees, and I'm just like, I don't understand how that happened. So that was a whole thing. Took us like almost till midnight to get it all sorted, and all the girls were okay. Panic attacks, trauma, the whole bit. Oh, Lord. Had to call the parents the next day. Anyhow, so that's how my Friday ended. And then Saturday morning, we get a phone call, and we get the news that Shari's grandmother, her beloved 101-year-old grandmother, passed away. That was my week. I'm sure you've all had some sort of full week like what I've had. And for me, as I was reflecting on it, I was like, God, where were you this week? I know that good things happened. And yet it was still such a emotional high and low, high and low. And as I was reflecting on the passage this for this week, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, as we start into the Gospel of Mark and we think about the disciples who marveled at Jesus, there was this period of time that where they were in that same spot with, where I was in that same spot with them. It's called the intertestamental period between the Old and the New Testament, about 450 years of silence. And the question is, where is God? Can he still hear us? Is he even there? The question I have for all of us is, as I was, and again, I was reflecting on this, and I think it's good for us to also think about, is, do I truly believe in the Jesus whom, for me, I preach and teach and pray about? Do I believe in Jesus' power and authority to meet me where I am, to sustain me, to strengthen, and to overcome? In today's passage, we get a glimpse into one day. This is one day of Jesus' life while he was here on earth. And if you read from verses 21 to 45, it was a pretty full day. He starts the day by healing a man possessed by a demon, as the passage that Monica just read for us, 21 to 28. Following that, he then heals Peter's mother-in-law in verses 29 to 31. Well, that's just not enough. He continues to heal others throughout the day as others bring people who've been demon-possessed or having physical ailments. And he continues to heal others after sunset, 32 to 34. Now, this is on the Sabbath, which is the Saturday. So you don't do anything after the sunset or when Sabbath starts. He then takes a break for prayer and then ends the day again with healing. At this time, it's a specific story about healing of a leper. We can certainly spend a lot of time exegeting these verses and studying about what does it mean to heal a man possessed by a demon? How did God heal Peter's mom? What's the big deal about the fact that he continued healing after sunset? And why does this passage end so specifically with this healing of a leper? And this is my shameful commercial. Please join me on Wednesday at 7:15 for our Mark Bible study. See, I can do it too. Well, I think for our purposes today, I'd like to invite us to step into the shoes of the disciples who have been waiting for a Messiah and who were witnessing all these healing miracles. And as we think about what was going on, I see this theme of power and authority repeating itself over and over in these passages, in these miracle events. As the scripture says in verse 21 to 28, even the demons recognized God's power and authority. So let's think for a moment here. Jesus healed a demoniac with only a word of command. And when I think about that, I think that's Jesus exemplifying his power and authority over seen and unseen worlds. He then goes on to heal Simon's mother-in-law. And this is Jesus' power and authority in the present, that he is here with us. He is with us in all of our circumstances. He's always there. Jesus continues to heal after the sunset. And this is him exercising his power and authority over human expectations. And then lastly, Jesus heals the leper. And in that time frame and in that society, to have the disease of leprosy was basically saying that you have caused some sin in your life that has affected you this way, and that there was no cure, that this was your punishment. In Jesus, we see that in that healing power, he exercised power and authority over situations beyond my control and beyond our control. We read these verses in the scriptures, and perhaps we've read this gospel so many times that they're just words on a paper or words on the screen. And we say, okay, yeah, Jesus did these miracles. As Jesus himself said, you know, to his disciples, you believe because you've seen me and all that I have done. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. And so in this way, that's what's happening for us today. We weren't there. We didn't see Jesus perform these miracles. And yet we believe because we place our faith in the Holy Scriptures and the recording of the Gospels. But you know, for Simon, Andrew, James, and John, these were truly mind-blowing occurrences. And this is why. For starters, rabbis, the learned spiritual leaders, didn't necessarily have authority over demons and natural illnesses. They did have certain rituals for exorcisms, but definitely did not have the same level of authority that Jesus was able to convey in just one word to this demon. Furthermore, they were taught that if you're going to be a good Jewish man or woman, a good follower of Jesus, it's all about obeying the law and rabbinic regulations, which, as we know, Jesus himself challenged and said, what was supposed to be life-giving ended up being bondage for God's people. And lastly, with the healing of the leper, only the temple priests could declare someone clean. That if you truly were healed from leprosy, you still had to go to the temple in order for the priest there to then say, yep, you're clean now, you're good to go. These were all mind-blowing occurrences when Jesus performed these miracles. In these four acts, in these healing miracles, Jesus essentially revealed their presuppositions about his power and authority. And I wonder if that's for us today as well. It was for me. What suppositions do I have about who Jesus is? Do I truly believe he has the power and the authority in my life, in my circumstances, in my very full week? I'm just going to say this out. I can't pretend to answer why some who seek healing receive it and others do not. Why a 22-year-old takes their own life while an 80-year-old receives a new lease on life. I can't answer why a coffee shop employee is faced with racial hate working at their job while an act of compassion restores faith in humanity to do good in a world gone wrong. I think the hope I have found in this passage is that these verses, over and over, you notice one word, amazement. I think that is so cool, that they were all amazed. Now, obviously, they were amazed because they were seeing this miracle healer doing his thing. And perhaps that's all that was. But it makes me stop and think for a minute. Am I still amazed by Jesus? They were surprised and astonished and could not wait to tell others about him, despite Jesus' best efforts to quiet their enthusiasm. And I can see why. If you witnessed something amazing, would you not tell others about it? Despite the fact that in this case, Jesus said, don't say anything. And there's a whole study about that called the Messianic Secret. And again, join me for a Mark Bible study, and we will talk about the Messianic Secret. I think what helped me to gain perspective again on my past week is to come and review my whole week with this attitude of amazement. And amazement is more than just being amazed, like, whoa. It's about surprise. It's about astonished. And that's how I'm going to end with this. I was really surprised by the opportunity to host Killarney Secondary School's choir. And for me, it was a real answer to prayer. And I didn't know, as Tammy shared later, that this was something they had done before. But for me, it was a real answer to the prayer. That we prayed for doors to be open, for connections to be made. And they reached out to us. Lisa Reimer reached out to us and said, could we use your sanctuary? I was truly surprised. I was amazed by how the youth fellowship had gelled. It has taken us a year and a half to gel all of our youth together. It takes time, and I never thought I would actually see it, and it happened. It really did. For three different churches to come together, and now these youth actually have friendships and have built friendships with them. I was actually astonished by how someone can be triggered to relive a traumatic experience by one small event and my lack of ability to handle it well. I really truly was shocked that I didn't handle it well. But was God in and through Jesus with me through all that I experienced this week? And I can say unashamedly, yes, he was. And why? Thank you, sister. Thank you. Jesus, if there's four things you can take away from today, is this. Jesus has power and authority over our sin, over seen and unseen worlds. Jesus has power and authority in the present. Jesus has power and authority over human expectations. So, and Jesus has power and authority over situations beyond my control. And that's why I can call him my King. This morning we're going to be receiving the communion elements. And we believe that with the receiving of the communion elements, we recognize and we affirm Jesus' power and authority over sin and death. That's really what the elements are. But also in receiving them as one body and also for ourselves, that we're also affirming Jesus' power and authority in my life, in our lives, in all circumstances of life.